Harvest Messages are brought to you by Harvest Partners. To receive free email daily devotions or to become a Harvest Partner, please visit us online at harvest.org.
Tonight we're going to be in Luke chapter 10. The title of the message is Setting Priorities. Setting Priorities. I heard a story of a group of friends who went deer hunting, and they paired off in twos for the day, and as the night was coming to a conclusion, one of the hunters returned alone. He was staggering under an 8-point buck. "Where's Harry?" he was asked. "Well, Harry had a stroke of some kind. He's a couple of miles back on the trail." "You left Harry laying there and carried the deer back?" "It was a tough call," said the hunter. "I couldn't carry them both, and so I figured no one was going to steal Harry." Wrong priorities. This guy, poor Harry's back there, and he just cares about the buck. We all have to make priority calls in our life. Today, you know, during your day up until this point, you made priority calls. You put your life in priority of what was important, because what's important to us, we will do. Whatever that thing in our life is important to us, we'll make sure that thing gets done, whatever it is. Well, in our time together tonight, we're going to look at two siblings that had to make a choice. We all know that what we do in the sense of what's on the top of that list becomes that priority. The story we're going to be looking at tonight is the story of Mary and Martha, two sisters. Now, I know this is Valor Men's Bible Study, and you're thinking, great, Brad's going to make us get in touch with our feminine side tonight. And to that, I say, absolutely not. We're not going to do that, but you like that, Robert? That was, yeah. Don't worry about that. We don't get in touch with our feminine side here. But as we do look at this story from Luke chapter 10, we're going to see that at times we will fit into one of the categories of Mary or Martha. We are either a Mary or we are a Martha. Martha is work-based. Do something, get up, make something happen. Mary is word-based. We will find her sitting at the feet of Jesus. "Teach me the Bible, instruct me. I want to grow in my knowledge of the word." We all have a propensity of one over the other. We all identify with one more than the other. I myself identify more with Martha. I get real busy in ministry and doing things, and I sometimes forget to sit at the Lord's feet. If I don't do my personal devotion time at home, if I don't open up my Bible and read at home and pray at home, I have the mindset, you know, I'll just do it when I get to work. Inevitably, I sit down at my desk, and then the day starts. Doesn't matter what time it is. If I get here, then all of a sudden now emails start coming in, phone calls start coming in, and I get so busy. And so I become kind of that Martha mentality of it. So you're either a Martha or a Mary. Some of you know already which one you are. Some may find out for tonight which one you are. But again, I'm not asking you to get in touch with your feminine side. I just want us to consider this story where Jesus is the central figure and determine where we line up in that story. So let's read the whole story, which is only 5 verses long, and then we will dissect it a bit. Luke chapter 10, verse 38. "Now it happened, as they went, that he, Jesus, entered a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she approached him and said, 'Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me.' And Jesus answered and said to her, 'Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things, but one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part which will not be taken away from her.'" Let's pray. Father, as we look to this story of Mary and Martha, Martha being a work-based person, Mary being a word-based person, may we look into ourselves, may you look into our souls and see which type of person that we are, and to make sure that we're doing things that you want us to do, not things that we feel are necessary or can't be done without our assistance. We ask that you would speak to us through your word by the power of the Holy Spirit. We want to be just emptied vessels tonight, that you would pour into us your word and that it would stir our hearts and souls, that we would now take these words and apply them to our lives, that we could do this, God, for your glory and our good. So bless this time. We're dependent upon you and your Holy Spirit to teach us tonight, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. So our text tonight is going to be divided into three parts. And our first part is a scene of serenity. So if you're taking notes, our first point is a scene of serenity. Jesus was coming in to Jerusalem area. Remember, he was in the northern part of the country of Israel. He's making his way south, ultimately to Jerusalem, where he was going to be crucified, buried, but resurrected again. And as Jesus was making his way down, he comes to this area that it says a certain village. Well, that village was Bethany. And Bethany is located, if you have Jerusalem here, bless you, and then you have the Kidron Valley, and then you've got the Mount of Olives, well, on the eastern slope is Bethany. It's only 1.5 to 2 miles from Jerusalem, very close. And Jesus was right there. And as he comes into the city, a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. Now, as we've studied the life of Christ, walking with Jesus, we have seen that Jesus has foes, Jesus has fans, and Jesus has friends. Jesus' foes were those religious leaders and scribes and Pharisees that were always looking to trip Jesus up. They were always looking of ways to get him to blaspheme the name of God. They actually would have loved to have gotten rid of him, even by the point of killing him, which they did, but according to God's will and God's timing. The fans were those who loved what Jesus was doing. Man, he's performing miracles. He's causing the blind to see, the deaf to hear, the lame to walk. He's feeding 5,000 people with just a little bit of food. This guy's a rock star. We love him. We are fans of Jesus. Now, foes and fans pick you, but you pick your friends. And Jesus had a very few of them in his earthly ministry. Two of them, though, being Mary and Martha. We all know that Jesus ministered to so many people, but we don't read too often that Jesus was ministered to. But in our story that we have here tonight, Jesus was ministered to by Mary and Martha. They fed him. They gave him a place to rest. They took care of his needs, opening up their home and ministering to him. Evidently, Martha, being mentioned first, was probably the owner of the home, and she was probably the oldest sister. It was Mary and Martha, but there's a brother also that we don't read about in this story, but we'll read about later on, called Lazarus. And so we see the story of these women bringing in Jesus, the hospitality. And what a great thing that Jesus is coming to their town and they're welcoming him in. Now, on a little bit of a side note, Jesus, as he comes in, he's a single guy. And these ladies are single ladies, and they're inviting him into their home. And it just reminds us that Jesus had friends who were women. It's okay, single guys, to have a friendship with sisters in the church, as long as you respect them and honor them and treat them with dignity and not targets, because we love and respect the single gals of our church. It's okay to have those friendships. But guys, don't ever take advantage, single guys, of the advantage of the sisters in our church. Because if you do, a couple of weeks ago, you saw Pastor Carmen teach. He goes to the gym every day. If you do, you'll have Pastor Carmen to answer to. But more importantly, you'll have God to answer to. But in all seriousness, we treat our sisters with dignity and respect. We protect them. And so for you married guys, it's okay if you have a friendship with one lady. That is, thank you, your wife. That's the one you get to have a friendship with. It's not okay to have friendship with women that aren't part of your family. It undermines your marriage. Going out to lunch, texting, emailing, it's unhealthy and very dangerous. So if this describes you, this is something you need to stop immediately and make sure that you are paying that attention. What you were doing for that person, do that for your wife. Now, verse 39 tells us, and she, Martha, had a sister called Mary. Now, I don't know if you had siblings growing up. Well, some of you, I probably know that you did or didn't. But for me, I had two older brothers and two older sisters who were my siblings. And you know what? Both sets of siblings were completely different from each other. My two brothers are very completely different. My two sisters are very completely different. My wife has one sibling, her sister, and they were and are two exact opposites. One's very outgoing, one's more shy. And so for whatever reason, it seems like when God puts siblings together, they're very different. And Mary and Martha are just like that, very different. But here's Mary and Martha. Martha is the firstborn. She's the older. She's the lawgiver. Older siblings seem to try and boss the younger ones around, don't they? Being the youngest myself, it was always that bossing me around. Hence the phrase, you're not the boss of me. Isn't that what we'd always say as the youngest child? You're not the boss of me. But she's the one who comes home from school. She checks out the chore chart. She does her laundry, folds it nicely, puts it in her drawers, chops up the vegetables for the soup for that night. That's the type of person that Martha is. She has it all nailed down. Mary, she's not so much a lawgiver as she's a lawbreaker. She's a fluttering butterfly. Wherever the wind's blowing, that's where she's going. Two totally different people. Well, this evening, we're going to look at these two totally different types of people. And again, we all fall into one of these categories. Mary and Martha, ask yourself, which one are you? Some of you already know, oh yeah, I'm Mary. I'm the type that just, you know, sits there at the Lord's feet and spending my time in devotion in the mornings. Some of you are like, no, I'm a Martha. I'm busy serving and working and things like that. Now, Martha is work-based. Do something, get up, make something happen. Mary, again, is word-based. She sits at the feet of Jesus. Teach me the Bible, instruct me. I want to grow in my knowledge of the word. Now, I don't want to paint Martha in a bad light. She's a great gal. I mean, she welcomes Jesus into her home. It's not told us that they were friends at this point because it says a certain woman named Martha. And I would think that if this was a friend of Jesus, it would have said, the scriptures would have said, especially being Luke, since he's so meticulous with his note-taking, being a doctor, he tells us that it was a certain woman. It would have probably said, now, one of Jesus' close friends, Martha, welcomed him home again. But we don't read that. It's a certain woman named Martha. She was very hospitable. She had the gift of hospitality. And she hears Jesus is coming. And so she offers to have him and his entourage come and stay at their home and rest a while, and I'll feed you. She was very hospitable. At a moment's notice, she just ushers this stranger with all of his friends in. Sure, she had heard about Jesus, but I don't believe they were friends yet. But we don't read of anybody else offering Jesus a place to stay. And when Jesus entered the city of Bethany, people swarmed to have him over their house. We don't read that. We just read one simple, you know, hospitable woman asked Jesus to come to their home. That's what Martha did. Now, up to this point, it's a very peaceful, very tranquil setting. Everything's going well. Martha is working quietly in the kitchen. Mary is there helping her as well. But now, Mary's left that and has quietly gone to sit at the feet of Jesus. Martha had hospitality, but she also had haste. Because in verse 40 it says, but Martha was distracted with much serving. It wasn't just serving. She was distracted with much serving. She was like the people you see on the Food Network, on Iron Chef or whatever. You know, they're preparing these plates, and they've got to be just perfect because they're going to be scored on taste and on how it's plated and how, you know, everything is prepared. She's wanting to get all the points. She wants to be the next Iron Chef, and so she's making sure everything is perfect. The settings all match. The glasses are free of spots. Everything had to be just perfect for her. So we had a scene of serenity, but our second point tonight is now we're going to see an outburst of outrage, in verse 40. Martha was distracted with much serving. She was distracted. When we take our focus off of the main thing, we too can get distracted. Consider Martha's situation. She received Jesus into her home, but then she neglected him as she prepares this elaborate meal that he didn't even ask for, nor did he even need. Certainly, a meal was in order, but what we do with Christ is far more important than what we do for Christ. Let me say that again. What we do with Christ is far more important than what we do for him. Martha was busy. Now she's bitter. Maybe you've been that way too. Maybe you've been busy serving here in ministry and everything's going well. Then all of a sudden a couple of people leave and now you're having to do more work. It's like, man, I can't do all this. I'm spending all my time doing this certain thing, this certain task. I need help here. I'm parking cars in the parking lot and people are almost running me over. There's no glory in that. And people are honking their horns at me and making gestures, which I don't think are very Christian-like. You know, this is, you know, I'm getting bitter as I'm serving. If that is ever the case, maybe it's time to take a step back, to consider who you're serving for. You're not serving for harvest. You're serving for the Lord. You're not serving so people can see you. You're serving so Jesus can see you. But if that ever doesn't become your focal point, then you need to back away from that. Maybe even step down for just a moment and do what Mary's going to do here in just a moment. Now, Martha may have felt justified and in the need and a reason to become distracted. Now, that word distracted means to be overly concerned. Not just concerned, but overly concerned. This word is only used here in the New Testament. She was probably thinking, how will I ever be able to take care of all the details of this dinner? From the appetizers, to the salad, to the main dish, to the drinks, to the desserts, to seating all the guests, she was stressing out. Now, there was more than just Jesus here, because it says that they came into the city. So it was probably Jesus and his disciples. So you've got Mary, Martha, Jesus, the 12 disciples. So it was a full house, no doubt. And as they came into the village, but verse 40 continues, and she, Martha, approached Jesus. Isn't it great that we can approach Jesus? How great is that? That at any moment's notice, we can come to the throne of God's grace. Hebrews 4:16 tells us that we can come boldly into the throne room of his grace to obtain grace and mercy in our time of need. Now, that doesn't mean that I come and, again, make demands of God. And become boldly doesn't mean that I can make these commands of him or demands of him. It just means that I can come with confidence. I can come knowing that he wants me to come into his throne room. And here we see Martha approaching Jesus. Unfortunately, she does so not in a manner that is respectful. Because Martha says, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her to help me. Here are those steps to making the mistakes that Martha did. First, we become distracted, and then our motives aren't right. Then we start thinking about ourselves. Don't you care about me? What about me? Did you forget about me? Then we become demanding and bossy. Hey, do this, do that. I'm above that. You take care of that. Mary was there at the beginning. But then she left Martha, and Martha was upset over that. Martha must have thought, here I am, I'm all by myself, I'm working, and my sister is in the living room doing nothing. Typical younger sister, typical younger brother. I have to do all the work, all they do is go outside and play. Now, the word approached that Martha did or came to is the word denotes an insistence. A determined approach. It's even used in Acts chapter 17 when the mob went to Jason's house to bring him out. As they approached Jason's house, it means to approach with the intent of attack. Martha was coming to Jesus and approaching him with an insistence to attack. But she felt she had good reason to be upset. She doesn't just blame Mary. She blames Jesus. Martha's priorities were wrong. So her attitude became wrong. Now Jesus, his disciples, Mary, they're all in the living room, and Jesus, God in human form, is teaching them. In the other room, is Martha. She's banging pots and pans. She's sloshing things around. She is lit. She's obviously upset that Mary has left her to listen to Jesus. And it's not that she just blames Jesus. She interrupts him as he's teaching. In verse 39, it says that his word, that in the Greek is that word logos, it goes beyond the simple verbiage, but indicates that Jesus was actually giving a Bible study. What a, just if you picture this in your mind, Jesus is there and the disciples are there and Mary's right at his feet. And Jesus is teaching and he's bringing these truths and he's the creator of the universe, telling them all about himself and what's going to happen and just living a life of holiness, all these things. And then Martha comes in and interrupts the Bible study. Whoa, time out, Jesus. Hey, if you want to eat, you better tell my sister to get in there and help me, because this ain't happening right now if we don't. And so it would be like this. Pastor Greg's here on a Sunday morning and he's teaching God's word, and all of a sudden some guy is coming up the aisle, and he's one of our custodians. And he gets up to the front here and says, excuse me, Pastor Greg, I have something to tell you. The bathroom trash is overflowing, and can you send Tim to go into the restroom to clean it, to empty it? Really? You're going to come and interrupt a Bible study of talking about Jesus to go into the men's restroom because the trash can's full? You think, well, that's kind of no one would ever do something like that. This is the ironic thing. I was teaching this morning in our Valor in the Morning. We do it up in Topher's Theater. Talking, of course, about the same subject matter. And before I get to this story, I see a guy get up. And that happens in the morning because guys, you know, some of them are getting there from off work and they get there a little late. Some guys got to go to work and so they have to leave a little early. And I understand that and I'm okay with that. I just want them there. It's great that they're there that early in the morning, 7 o'clock. But a guy gets up and I notice, you know, he gets up and he kind of stretches a little bit. And I thought, well, maybe his back's hurting. And so then he excuses himself and goes to the back of the theater there, and he's kind of again stretching a little bit. And I thought, oh, he's just, you know, probably a little bit tight or whatever. So I look down at my notes, and I'm teaching, and then I look back at him, and out of my peripheral vision, I see him kind of walking up the side of the aisle there. And then I notice he moves past where he was sitting, and then he comes all the way up to the front, and then he comes up and is right there. Right when I'm teaching, it's like, is there something you wanted to say, or what is it that you wanted to do? I said, you know, I'm kind of right busy right now. And so then he just kind of walks around and goes again. And it's like, you wouldn't think that would happen. But it's what happened this morning. It was kind of ironic that I'm teaching this text, and that thing right there happens right then. And we dealt with him afterwards and, you know, gently, you know, hopefully, but firmly, you know, told him that, you know, if you want something to say, you know, God's not going to interrupt his own word. Anyways, that's what Martha does. She interrupts Jesus and says, Jesus, we got a problem here. You need to help me out. She was indignant. She was commanding Jesus, make Mary come back in the kitchen and help me. Now, there are plenty of Marys in the scriptures. This Mary that we're talking about today is Mary of Bethany, the sister of Lazarus and Martha. And we see her three times spoken of in the gospel stories. And on each occasion, she's at the same place, sitting at the feet of Jesus. Here she sits at his feet and listens to his word. In John chapter 11, verse 32, she fell at her feet and shared her woe. And in John chapter 12, verse 3, she came to his feet and poured out her worship. As Warren Wiersbe points out, it's interesting to note that in each of these instances, there is some kind of fragrance. Here in Luke chapter 10, it is food. In John chapter 11, it is death. And in John chapter 12, it is perfume. Now here's an interesting point. Jesus discipled women for ministry. Jesus discipled women for ministry. Now, that doesn't seem like a big deal to us because we see plenty of women in ministry. We have some wonderful, godly teachers here at our church who have been discipled, under the teaching of Pastor Greg, and they lead our women's studies and do other things like that. But in this culture, this was very unusual. To sit at someone's feet was an official position. In that day, you were not accepted to a school. You were accepted to a teacher. You didn't apply to Stanford. You applied to a rabbi. And that rabbi then would either accept you or reject you. They would investigate it. They would look at these things. And you would be accepted. And then it would be an honorable position of sitting at their feet while they taught. And so your commitment was more to a teacher or a professor or a rabbi than it was to the institution or an organization. That's why we see the Apostle Paul in Acts 22, when he's reflecting back on his former life, before he met Jesus as Savior, he said he was formerly trained by, quote, sitting at the feet of the rabbi Gamaliel. And that's his way of saying, I went to such and such university. His chariot's license plate frame said, Gamaliel alumni. That's the mentality that it was. You taught under a teacher. And so Mary was sitting at Jesus' feet while he's teaching. This was not allowed by the rabbis. This is contrary to the rabbinical law. Women were to be in their own section or in the back, never sitting at the Lord's feet or the rabbi's feet. But you know what? Martha had the same opportunity. Martha could have said, you know what? Mary's there. She's learning stuff. I'm going to go check out what Jesus has to say too. She had every opportunity to come and be at the Lord's feet. But then who's going to cook the meal? Who's going to set the table? Who's going to clean the dishes? Who cares? Jesus is teaching. I mean, here's a great opportunity. And she's missing it. What should she have done? Especially since she was so frustrated and she was angry. She was full of anxiety. She was irritated. She should have just went in there and sat right next to Mary. Just listened to Jesus' teaching. The Lord didn't care about that stuff. He didn't care about the meal. He came to teach the truth. If he ate or if he didn't eat, it didn't matter to him. We should do the same though, guys. If we ever get busy in ministry and we become frustrated or irritated or anxious, we just need to simply come to the feet of Jesus. But as she comes to Jesus, she says this, Lord, do you not care? I was just shocked. Do you not care? Of all people, Jesus, do you not care? I mean, this is one of the most graceless statements ever made by anyone to Jesus. You mean the one who you can cast all of your cares upon? Do you not care? Or the one who says, come to me, all you who are heavy laden, I will give rest to your soul. Jesus, don't you care? She's out of control. She's over the top. I like how John MacArthur describes this. He says, it's like saying, well, are you just going to stand there, Jesus, and just keep talking about divine, life-changing, soul-transforming, sin-shattering, heavenly blessing-producing joy, giving peace, bringing glorious truth, and ignore the fact that the table isn't set? How dare you, Jesus? Lord, do you not care? Same words that Jesus heard from the disciples. If you were with us in Mark chapter 4, when we talked about the perfect storm and how Jesus said, get in the boat, we're going to the other side. A promise of Jesus. Get into the boat. We're going to the other side. And then a storm came up. And these seasoned fishermen became all afraid. And they woke Jesus up. And they say, Jesus, don't you care? We're perishing. Don't you care? You know, people still say this today. Well, God doesn't care about us. If God cared about us, then why do bad things happen to good people? When they don't realize that there is no good people, but there is a good God. The psalmist felt this way. In Psalm 10, he says, why, O Lord, do you stand far away? Why do you hide yourselves from me in times of trouble? Can I tell you something? Jesus cares. Jesus cares. He cares greatly for the souls of humankind, so much so that he was going to go to the cross and give his own life in exchange for our miserable life. The great exchange. The redemption of our souls, where Jesus takes upon himself all of our sins and he gave all of his righteousness to us. Jesus cares. Of course he cares. Our last point this evening, so the start of our story was pretty serene. It was pretty peaceful. Then Martha flies off the handle, and now we lastly see the answer of authority. The answer of authority in verse 41. And Jesus answered and said to her, Martha, Martha, you're worried and troubled about many things, but one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part, which will not be taken away from her. Can you just hear Jesus' disappointment in his words? Martha, Martha, you just don't get it. You just don't get it yet. yet. Because Jesus responds basically this way. Now, Martha, let's think about this for a moment. Think about life. There really are not many necessary things. And you're concerned with a lot of details, but you could live without them if you had to. On the other hand, there are a few things that you cannot live without. And Mary has found one of these. It will not be taken from her. Now, Jesus doesn't condemn Martha, but nor does he commend her. He could have strongly rebuked her, but instead he lovingly corrected her. He says to her, "You're worried and troubled about many things." Worried and troubled, those words mean concerned or agitated. Us Marthas can get that way. If things don't go my way, then I get agitated. If I have a game plan of sorts, if I have things outlined in a certain way, and then something deviates from that plan, I get a little agitated. My poor wife is a recipient of this too many times. You know, she'll say, "Hey, you want to go shopping with me?" Of course, being the good husband, said, "I'd love to go shopping with you." And so, but tell me, where are we going? We're going to store A, store B, and store C. Okay, what are we getting? We're getting this, we're getting that, we're getting this. Perfect, got it. So we go to store A. It's like, "Oh, well, store D is here too. Can we go to store D too?" My plans in my mind got deviated from. I get a little agitated. It's like, "Wait a minute, we were supposed to go to A, B, and C and get this, that, and this. Now we're going to this other store?" I can understand that, and you can pray for me because that's something I'm working on. I'm getting better at it, I hope, by God's grace. But that's the Martha in me, you know, the serving and not, you know, thinking about, well, maybe God wants you to go to D because maybe you'll see someone there that needs, you know, prayer or maybe you need encouragement. And so I've learned that sometimes those distractions and those things are ordained by God. I'm learning. But this should be our example when we correct people, to be loving but firm like Jesus was, to give the facts like he does in verse 42. He says, "But one thing is needed. One thing is needed, Martha. Can there be anything greater in value than wholehearted devotion and adoration to the Lord?" In the Old Testament, King David had this perspective in Psalm 27 when he said, one thing have I asked for of the Lord, one thing shall I seek." In the New Testament, we see the Apostle Paul in Philippians 3:13 when he said, "This one thing that I do." Now, the Old Testament, and when David talks about that, he reduced his life to one thing, one single priority, he said, was to behold the beauty of the Lord. Man, if we get too busy, we miss out on being able to view the beauty of the Lord. And Paul said his one single priority was to know Jesus and then to be conformed to his likeness. And then in our text here tonight, we have a statement from the lips of Jesus himself. "But only a few things are necessary, Martha." Really, only one. There's only one thing. Not only did David understand there was one priority, not only did Paul in the New Testament understand there was only one pursuit, but now the Lord says there was only one. There's only one. And Mary has chosen that good part. As in some translations say, that good portion. And I wonder if that was kind of a play on words. Martha, you're so busy preparing all these portions. The appetizers, the salad, the main entree, the dessert, all these portions. You're so concerned about it. But you know what? Mary chose the best portion. Mary chose the best portion. Jesus gently but firmly chastised Martha. And some may think, well, it's kind of unfair of Jesus. Here she was doing all this for him. But you know, if we look at her life in the future, two of the greatest professions of faith found in Scripture were going to be spoken from the heart and the mouth of Martha. In John chapter 11, she said, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now, I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you." She's a woman of faith. Jesus chastises her here in Luke 10, but later on in her life, she understands it. She gets it. Also in John 11, 27, she said to Jesus, "Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who has come into the world." Great statements of Martha. Well done, Martha. You got the picture. You got the lesson. This story has a wonderful ending, an ending where God is glorified, which is what matters most. So either you're a Mary, or you're a Martha. If you're a Martha, don't be discouraged. There is a definite place for you. And if you're a Mary sitting at the Lord's feet, there's a place for you. Guys, it's all about balance. It's all about balance, because there's going to be times when you're a Mary and times when you're a Martha. And if you're one of those guys who are so busy serving, and you know, we appreciate the fact that so many people serve here. How many of you guys attended our Re-Envision Weekend this past weekend? It wasn't awesome, a great time. And you know, again, thank you guys for serving. You know, we couldn't all do what we do without everybody's assistance and help. And so, but one thing we see is people who come to faith in Christ, or maybe they come to the church start coming to the church, we don't automatically put them into ministry. We have, you know, some parameters that we have where in 6 months' time of sitting under the teaching of Pastor Greg, looking into the Word or a Valor or a Wednesday night study, we ask they at least sit for 6 months. And that way they can get the undergirding that they need and set that foundation right. And then they can start serving. But some of you guys, you know, you've been sitting under the teaching for years and years and years, and you're still not serving. Can I ask you a question? Why not? There's so much stuff to do here at the church and the blessings that we receive. But those of you guys who serve, and I know I don't have to tell you guys because you're on a Tuesday night Bible study, but make sure that you attend a Bible study other than the one you're serving if it doesn't afford you. I know for myself, I'm very busy on Sunday mornings. Sunday mornings, I sit in the back row. Tim knows this because he bugs me every week. Hey, you guys need this row? Hey, I got a problem here. You can take care of it. No, Tim, it's your job. You're the head usher. You take care of it. Tim, you did a great job. But, you know, I sit in the back, and I can't completely focus all of my attention on the worship service because sometimes there's needs, and I want to be available to them. They ask me questions. I come sometimes get in late for worship. So I make sure that I sit down in the front row where Tim is every Wednesday night, and I participate in worship and in the Word. I always, on Sundays, listen to the Word of God, but sometimes I don't get a chance to worship. And that's important to me, and I know the Lord wants us to do that. So if you're serving, make sure you're sitting in. Again, I don't have to tell you guys, you're here on a Tuesday night. But that's one of the important things that we have. And so the two things I'd like to tell you is if you're serving, thank you. If you're not, get busy. God wants you to do that because it's a balance, sitting at the Lord's feet and also being that busy for Him. So when we've been instructed by our Lord, then we will serve Him wisely because we'll be attuned to His wisdom. We must constantly return to His feet to soak up more of that wisdom. Of course, that wisdom is found in God's Word. This is where we spend our time. But how much time you spend a day at His feet listening to His Word? In theory, we identify with Mary. But in practice, all too frequently, we perform like Martha. I know that's true for me. And so how, you know, if you're new here to the church, how do I get started? It's been 6 months, what do I need to do? Well, on Monday night, they have Start to Grow classes and Start to Serve classes. Get involved in those classes, get all ready to go, and then we'll put you to work. But remember, this is not an either-or proposition. Be a worker like Martha, or be a worshiper like Mary. Certainly our personalities and gifts are different, but that doesn't mean that the Christian life is an either-or situation. It seems evident to me that the Lord wants each of us to imitate Mary in our worship and Martha in our work. Nothing is as important as that divine truth. It's the priority. But we should also be serving. And as Warren Wiersbe says, blessed are the balanced. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your Word here tonight. We thank You that we could see the contrast between Mary and Martha. Martha was busy with work. Mary was busy with worship. May we have a great balance of that. And if we're out of balance, God, show us that. Say to us, Brad, you're worrying about too many things. Mary's chosen the better part. Sit at my feet and worship. God, we love You. And not like we should at times. We confess that. But You love us with a perfect love. So much so, and so greatly demonstrated, that You sent Your Son Jesus to die upon the cross for our sins, that we could be made right with You. And by receiving Christ alone for our salvation, we are now in that right standing. We thank You for that gift. Jesus, thank You for going to the cross, dying for our sins. You were buried, but then You rose again from the dead, and You're interceding for us. We're so grateful that God, You think that much of us to do that. And as we contemplate again this balance between Mary and Martha, may we be consistent in that. And if we're ever out of balance, show us that, that we could correct that by the power of your Holy Spirit. Bless these guys in their group times tonight as well, and they could minister to one another and lift one another up and encourage each other through your word and through a time of bearing one another's burdens. For we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you guys.